Hello and welcome back to Up the Villa podcast. This is our tactical debrief for Aston Villa 2, Chelsea 2. If you are new to our channel, make sure you are subscribing. Smash a like on this episode and comment your thoughts in the comment section down below. So let's get straight into it. What we normally do, we're going to have a look at individual player stats. We're going to have a look at passing networks. We're going to have a look at the heat maps. We're going to have a look at the individual battles all over the pitch. We're going to go to the images and see some of the key aspects from the game as well. We'll go to the tactical pad as well. So a real in-depth look at Villa 2, Chelsea 2. And my first thoughts and the first things I'm going to say is well done to Aston Villa. Aston Villa, lowest place position we can finish this season, is now fifth. And that is remarkable going into the last three games for Aston Villa. And I just think that's absolutely massive. You know, yes, we want Champions League, but we have officially qualified, no worse, fifth place for the Europa League, which is massive, massive progress for this team. It's a testament to their hard work, their endeavour, the way that they've played all season. And I think that can possibly get overlooked, really, as an achievement for Villa to get fifth. And, you know, we've mixed it amongst the big teams. We've been there all season. And I just think fifth place, when was the last time we finished fifth? I can't even remember. Like, I can't remember when we last finished fifth. So yeah, absolutely fantastic. Well done to Unai and all of the team. So Villa 2, Chelsea 2, what are my thoughts? My overriding thoughts now are I'm okay with it. Like, I'm okay. I was okay with it on the fan cam, really. I was okay with it after the game because I've just got, again, like a sense of pride and just, I just love this team. And I love this team, and I've got that now, that sort of like backing them no matter what. I'm just backing them no matter what they do. I'm just fully in awe of the team. And, you know, to get the point, I think overall it's a really good point. I think deep down, I probably would have took a point anyway from this game. Yes. We wanted to win. We wanted to win the game. But what I'm saying is I don't think a point is a bad result from where we are. You know, 7 points out of Arsenal, Bournemouth and Chelsea. I think we'd have all took that before those three games. So I think in that aspect, like, the point's not a bad result. And I've got to a point now where I'm just happy to see that points tally ticking over each week. I think if it ticks over each week and we go unbeaten now till the end of the season and there'll be another win in there somewhere, maybe two wins in there and a draw, then we get Champions League. I think that's where I'm at. I just want to see the points board just going tick, 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 and then we're fine. So in that aspect, like, I'm happy. So shall we get on to the performance now? We were way off it. We were very, very bad, in my opinion. I think, and I think this comes down to Pochettino and his team and the way that they played and the way that they set up. They completely nullified Villa. And I think by doing that, we had no outlet, which meant the ball just kept coming back and back and back. And they had more territorial advantage over us. We couldn't get out. And I just felt like when I was watching it that the first half, I thought, right, we got away with this here at 2-0. Let's go in, reassess, let's fine tune, let's figure out what we need to do to sort of get to grips with the Chelsea system. And we didn't. And it just stayed the same. And the pressure just kept coming and coming and coming. And this season, I've not really got edgy there and thought, oh, you know, like, they're going to get another one here. They're going to get another one. Like, even against Brentford, I didn't really expect that to happen. But against Chelsea, once that first one came, I thought the next one's coming and the next one's coming. And it was just one of them where we just had no outlet. So I'll try and show you what I think went wrong. And then you guys in the comment section can let me know what you think went wrong. And we'll go from there. So first of all, then what we'll do is we'll go SofaScore first, and then we'll go from there. So, I mean, as you can see here, like that's our form in the last, is that 10 games there? However many games that there. You know, that's great form. That will get us top four. If that green, grey continues, then we'll get top four. So if we go to the Chelsea game, then we can have a look at what happened then. So momentum bar is exactly how I thought I saw the game. Chelsea dominance in the blue, Villa are in the green. So we started the game well. We got the goal. You're thinking, okay. And then we just sort of retreated into our shape of the game and the shape of the momentum of the game. You know, even when we got the second, I think it was sort of against the run of play a little bit, wasn't it, really? Well, you can see it was against the run of play because look at how Chelsea were dominant in that area there. So, you know, Chelsea first half, brilliant. Second half, very, very good. You know, the stats from the game, Villa 29% possession, Chelsea 71, Chelsea 21 shots, 5 on target, Villa 9, 4 on target. And that's what I would say about the first half a little bit more than the second, is that I was more calmer first half because they weren't having no shots, were they? They weren't testing Martinez, they weren't creating that much. So first half, I think I was a bit more like, okay, that's what I was saying, like getting half time, reassess, come on. And then second half, they started to get more opportunities in and around our box. They had 4 corners, we had 2 big chances, had 2, they missed 2, we had no big chances and missed none. But surely that Watkins chance was a big chance missed. That was a big chance. Passing again, you know, 664 for Chelsea, 92% passing accuracy. Villa, 268 with 77% passing accuracy. Long balls from Villa, 40%. Long balls from Chelsea, 63%. Crosses success from Villa, 40% and 19% from Chelsea. Dribbles, 36% and 61% for Chelsea. So the big thing for me was the two teams and the two teams in the way that they played and the way that their systems worked. So we quickly go to the tactical pad. Here on the tactical pad, you've got the average positions from both teams. So both teams, we've got the average positions on where we are. Now, average positions, if anybody that's new, is the average position of that player has been in majority of the game, well, all of the game that they've been on the pitch. Now, from a Villa point of view already, what we can see is that we've got one player that's occupying a position in the Chelsea half, and that was Ollie Watkins. Now, apart from Ollie Watkins, there's not one Villa player that has been, on average, inside the Chelsea half. Compare that to Chelsea, and we've got 2 players that are inside their own half, and every other Chelsea player has spent the majority of the game in the Villa half. So that's the first point that I would say. Second point is that Chelsea, because they didn't have gusto and they didn't go with an out-and-out right back, they went with 3 centre-halves in this game. And what that enabled them to do was to actively play a 5 at the back. Now, because they were going with this 5 at the back, what it enabled them to do was have Badiashile, Silva and Chalobah centre half playing at the right back area, and then Cucurella was then going into central midfield. So a lot of time you'd see Cucurella in that position and Cucurella was dropping into midfield, but then what that allowed them to have was Mudryk out wide and Madueke out wide, and they then actively made up that sort of 5 at the back, because you've got Cucurella going in here and you've got those 2 that were sort of technically screening and holding. But it was sort of like not a 5 at the back, because that's not how they're actually playing. So I think their system was really, really good and really intriguing to see how it developed, because they've got the control of Chalobah, Silva and Badiashile, and then license for Cucurella to go in there, make up that midfield 3 with Gallagher, Caicedo and Cucurella. Palmer was then still allowed to move into these areas. You know, so it was like, it was intricate and it was really, really good on the way that they played. They've always got that width out wide. Villa were defending the width of the 18-yard box, allowing them to have this player out here. Madueke, I thought, had a really, really good game as well. But from a Villa point of view, we had no outlet. You know, our outlet was Ollie Watkins, and every time it went up to Ollie Watkins, he just got swamped. Like, you know, his hold up play was sensational against Bournemouth, but against Chelsea, it just wasn't as good, was it? It wasn't as good. He wasn't able to hold it up and then bring more players into the game. So that was an area that Villa had problems, because when it did go long to Watkins, it wasn't sticking and it was coming straight back. So from a Villa point of view, that tactic just wasn't working. And we were going long quite a bit as well. So we were going long and it wasn't holding. Another aspect that I think was Villa's downfall slightly was Youri Tielemans going off. Because with Tielemans going off, what we know is that we've McGinn was up alongside Watkins, and the first half it was doing okay. And then we know that McGinn would then drop into that area anyway. But when Tielemans went off and McGinn had to go in there, and we brought on Diaby came on. We know that going long to Diaby just doesn't work. It's not Diaby's fault. Diaby can't hold the ball up. And Diaby really struggled to play in that role against Chelsea because nothing was sticking, and there was just no cohesion with the team. Now, if we go to the passing network, so here we've got the passing network from the game. And as you can see, I showed you a great passing network last week against Bournemouth, how it was so in-depth, it was so intricate, it had so much width to it. And then you look at this one and there's nothing. You know, what you want to see from a passing network is triangles galore. The more triangles you can see, like this, like that, like a triangle there, you want to see these triangles looking like that, because what that shows is the thicker line shows that pass has been on more times in the game. And then what you want to see is those little lines coming off every single player. Now, if I'm trying to look at this now and think what happened in this game, there was no network between Douglas Luiz and John McGinn. Now, if they've played in midfield for pretty much, when did Tielemans go off? Early, well, mid first half, and they haven't got no network together, and those two are playing in central midfield together. So that's already a problem. We've got Matty Cash hasn't got a network with anybody inside that area. That's a slight problem. The other big problem we've got is that Ollie Watkins has got no network with any player. So a network, I'm sure it's five passes. You have to have made five passes to have a line to a player. So Ollie Watkins is completely isolated. And if you're looking at our front four, the creative players, you know, we were so complimentary of it against Bournemouth. So you're saying Rodgers, we've got Watkins is in there, we've got McGinn or Diaby would be in there. So I'm guessing this is Diaby here. Diaby and Bailey, there's no network. Like, it's just not really been a great game from a Villa point of view. We've had no structure. We've had no foothold in the game. It's been scrappy. It's been bitty. And I think this is probably a testament to how Chelsea played, really. And this is the Chelsea network. So you can see how intricate that is. You know, that they were really good. They were really dominant. And I've got to massively praise Chelsea. And I think what it is sometimes, which sometimes can probably get overlooked in football at times, is the certain teams that you come up against that fundamentally the two styles don't go. And what I'm putting this down to is us and Chelsea's style together, we don't suit. And Chelsea seem to, you know, you go over the course of the games this season, Chelsea played well at home and won. They played well at home in the Cup. They played well at Villa Park and they've played well again. So we know that Chelsea are this really inconsistent team that are flattering to deceive at times. But four times they've played quite good against Villa. Now, make of that what you will, but I'm putting it down to the way we play in this 4-4-2 isn't great when we're playing against this Pochettino system. So that's what I'm putting it down to. So I'm putting it down to that. So if we go back then to the heat maps, because I wanted to show it you in like a chronological order of showing you the average positions, then the passing networks, then the heat maps, and then we can start to understand of where we were compared to where they were. So the Villa, we'll go Villa first. So Watkins hardly touched the ball. Bailey, not in those attacking areas, is he? He's not, you know, getting in that 18-yard box. Rodgers was okay. Luca Dean, I think, was probably our best player. I think Luca Dean was good against Madueke. I think Luca Dean had a real tough game up against Madueke, but I think Luca Dean played well. Tielemans, I thought, was doing okay. Cash, okay. We've got McGinn, we've got Louise, and then we've got Powell, and then we've got Konsa. So our heat map is literally, I click every player, and we're not even involved inside our own half. Now, if we go to Chelsea's, you know, you're starting to have a look at Chelsea's. Where's Cucurella? I want to have a look at Cucurella. So Cucurella down that left-hand side. You've got there three centre-backs who are technically holding. And then you've got that creativity with Caicedo holding. You've got Conor Gallagher popping in and around, breaking through the lines. Cole Palmer doing the same. Madueke, look at that heat map compared to Bailey's. And then we've got Jackson up top as well. So, you know, we're used to seeing Bailey's heat map look like that. And Bailey's is looking like that. So, yeah, difficult game for Villa. And I think this will probably show you where we're at and what actually, you know, what went kind of went wrong as well. So we'll have a look at the duels, and we'll have a look at the passing networks then. So John McGinn's passing accuracy, 71%. He won 5 of his 10 duels, which is, it's okay, but from a central midfielder, you want that to be slightly higher. Matty Cash has won 3 of his 7, 90% passing accuracy. Luca Dean has won 6 of his 10, 87% passing accuracy. So I mean, that's backing up my thoughts. I think Luca Dean had a real good, solid game, made 4 tackles. We have got Duran, 100% passing accuracy. Tielemans was at 86% passing accuracy, and he'd won 3 of his 4 duels when he was on the pitch. So, you know, what I was saying about when Tielemans was on and we've took off and brought on Diaby, I don't think that change helped us at that moment in time, because I think that weakened us, because it meant McGinn had to go in the double pivot. Diaby had to come on. I don't think that change helped us one bit at all, but, you know, what can we do? Rodgers, 67% passing accuracy, 3 of 16 duels won, which is very, very low. Very, you know, that's got to improve massively. Took his goal fantastically well. What a player. But that area, we need to see more in. Pau Torres, 1 of his 4 duels were won, 82% passing accuracy. Konsa, 4 of 5. Bailey, 3 of 10. Diaby, none of 3. Irabunan, 1 of 4. Irabunan, 100% passing accuracy. Irabunan, when he came on, I thought added a bit of calmness for a bit. So I think Irabunan, when he came on, was decent. Diego Carlos, 1 of 4 and 67%. And Douglas Luiz, 2 of 6 and 81% accuracy. Luiz, I didn't think Luiz had a great game either. I thought Luiz was off it slightly. Frustrating. So I think, you know, you've seen the stats there that we weren't winning our battles, we weren't winning our duels. But I do think the way the two teams were, I think praise would have to go to Chelsea, because I think their system worked really, really well. And I think when I was watching it, it did look like a system thing of how we had no out ball, and it just didn't work right, was it? I don't think it was that great of a game from us. And I think we'll just dust that one under the carpet and just say, we played poor, we got the point, move on. You know, I've said it this season numerous times, like play crap and win. Play crap and draw. I've not used that one before, but play crap and draw, then you got to do what you got to do, ain't you? You got to just dig in, get the points. And when you're at the busiest end of the season, it's just all about points. Just get the points. Like, yeah, we would have loved to have gone 9 points clear of Spurs with them having to play 3 games. But football doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like what you want and what you get. You have to earn it. And it's 7 points. So if they lose against Arsenal, then that's another game dusted off. They got Chelsea midweek away. You know, Chelsea play anything like that, then Spurs might not get nothing. So, you know, we're in a great place still. We're in a very good place still. Right, so we'll go to the images then and we'll have a look at, you know, some of the key things from the game. So here we have Pau Torres with a beautiful pass to Luka Dean. Plays it through that area there. Absolutely lovely. He plays this great crossing. Luka Dean's crossing was good in this game as well. Cucurella own goal. But this was the only time that we really had our shape and we were really having that territorial advantage, really. And then we've got next goal. We've got the Morgan Rogers ice cold finish. What a player he's going to be. Absolutely fantastic. Did have a tough game, you know, with his jaws, etc. But there was bright, bright sparks, bright moments, especially when he's driving forward with the ball. Just what a player he's going to be. Like, what a player. His finishing is unbelievable. This is a naughty, naughty finish. It's a real good finish. And he's just got that little breezy celebration. He's a little breezy. I like it. I like the celebration. I like it when a player has a trademark celebration. And I think Cole Palmer's nicked Rodgers' celebration. So I do think Rodgers was doing it before Cole Palmer. So that little breezy, I want to see it more and more because Rodgers, fair play to him, stuck that one away brilliantly. Next up then, we've got Dougie Luiz dwelling on the ball. Frustrating, dwelling. You know, look at this. Reverse it. Let's have a little reverser here. Can we not just outside of the foot here? Luka Dean wants it. And we're dawdling on the ball. And then we lose it and then they score with Madueke. I mean, this one, again, great finish. But again, no one's pressuring him. No one's come out to him. One of these three could have come out. Probably Luka Dean, maybe, because we've got this one here. But, you know, someone needs to go out to him and not allow him to shoot. And he shoots and, you know, he scores. And then this, I mean, I've got to be honest, after the game on the fan cam, I'd got no idea what had happened. Like, no idea whatsoever what had happened. I didn't know what foul it was. Was it a foul? Wasn't it a foul? Watching it back and knowing that this referee can see this, right? The referee can blatantly see the push in the back and allows this with nothing going on, right, to carry on, and VAR stepping and sending to the monitor. Fair play to VAR. Fair play to VAR. And it was a foul. And now this ref cannot see that this is a foul. I have no idea whatsoever. No idea whatsoever how this ref can not see that that's a foul. But the other thing that I would say about this moment is Carlos twice allows the ball to bounce. He allowed it to bounce for the Olsen save, which we'll get onto in a second. And he allowed this one to bounce before we dealt with this moment. So the ball bounces and then we get to this. Just get rid of that ball. When I played like the level of football that I played at, not the highest level, there's areas that you don't allow a ball to bounce. And one area you don't allow that ball to bounce is inside your own box. So, yeah, it's a foul, but just don't allow it to bounce. And then that second mix-up with Carlos and Olsen, that's all on Carlos for me. Just get rid of it. Just get rid of it. You know, I remember seeing it back in the day with Engels. Remember Engels with Spurs? Just get rid of it. So the communication, I'm not having Olsen error for that lack of communication. For me, yeah, Olsen's coming out, but Carlos, just deal with it, man. So yeah, poor that was. Really frustrated me. But what I will say about Olsen is I am very, very impressed with Olsen, because I criticised Olsen back in the day, and I criticised him more for his playing out from the back because he just couldn't do it. And he's adapted, he's learned, he's comfortable now at playing out from the back. You know, and it's not easy sometimes for a goalkeeper that's been schooled on not playing with the ball at his feet. You know, if that's not your game, you know, okay, that's not your game. But Olsen's developed that. And Olsen looks a lot calmer with the ball at his feet now as well. And then that spider save, you know, he's learnt that from Martinez, and Gauchi's got it in his locker as well. That save from Cole Palmer was absolutely world-class. And Olsen needs massive, massive credit, because if he didn't make that save and it goes 3-2, we lose this game. So Olsen, he'll get loads of stick. He gets loads of stick when he has to come on. But he's adapted, he's learnt, and I am now more than comfortable with Olsen playing in goal. And for me to say that, based on what we were seeing a year or two ago, you know, it's massive, and fair play to him, because his game has improved. Every Villa fan that watches Olsen now, his game has definitely improved. And yeah, I'm not having any Olsen slander, because the beauty sometimes is the ability to change your opinion and not just stick with your opinion, because a year ago you slated him and you hated him, and you don't deviate from that opinion. And for me, Olsen's game has massively improved. And I'm one of these that were saying in the summer, like, we need a new goalkeeper, Olsen's not good enough. But I'm now saying that I'm comfortable with Olsen in goal. So, you know, fair play. He made that great save. And he was even coming off his line on corners and gathering it and catching it. And then you look at the goals. You know, the first one, I don't think he can deal with that. It's come across him in the box and it's been cut across him. And then the second one, he's got no chance with that. But, you know, like I say, when you're conceding goals in football, you can't just pin the blame on the player that's the last player to deal with anything. You've got to look back, and, you know, no one came out to Conor Gallagher. No one stopped him from shooting. So, you know, we've got to blame you've got to look at the players that, you know, are actively affecting things before it gets to that sort of very, very last moment. So, you know, I just wanted to speak a bit about Olsen, because I think he's done really, really well, and he'll be in goal in the cup game. And we don't know what's going on with Martinez, his injury. Hopefully it's not too bad. And I think Martinez does have these little calf issues from time to time. And I think if it's his hammy, I think he'll be fine. I think it was really more of a precaution, because he ended the game, like the first half. So, yeah, I think Martinez probably will be fine. So, yeah, that's it for this episode. Positive still. Gotta believe we're in a great position. It's one of those where we get the point, move on, and that's basically it, really. You know, no point moaning and being down about it. It's a point. We didn't lose. So I'm still very, very positive. I'll be watching the Arsenal-Spurs game. Hopefully Arsenal do a job on them. And then that's another game that's ticked off. We're in a good place. You know, we're fifth and we're fourth, but lowest is fifth. And that's a great achievement in itself. And this team's good. This team's good. And we'll be better. We've got Olympiacos up next. So the reason why the debrief is out today is because we're starting all of our Olympiacos content tomorrow. So you'll have Olympiacos content tomorrow as well. We've got a week of it until the game. And yeah, just cheers for all the support. You know, you've been great on social media the last couple of weeks. You've absolutely smashed it. So cheers, everybody. Comment your thoughts. If you are new and you've got to this point, subscribe to the channel. And up the Villa.